Many, many years ago, when I was in college, I went to a university that had the Tom Brokaw School of Communications. So I was very much in tune with Walter Cronkite. For you young people, you don't know who Walter Cronkite was. But there was another news commentator, Dan Rather, and he always wanted to keep things very professional in his newscast and keep his objective in mind. And he had a question that was written on three slips of paper, one that he kept in his billfold, one in his pocket, and one on his desk. And it was a probing reminder: is what you are doing now helping the broadcast? Is what you are doing helping the kingdom of God? My daughter is a fan of country music, and if you listen to country music, these lyrics show up over and over again. There goes my reason for living. There goes one of my dreams. There goes my only possession. Or how about the one, there goes my everything? Country singers have sob stories. One of those lines, I think, is in every country song out there. And I got to thinking about this and was wondering, did the writer of these lyrics recognize that his purpose had slipped away from him? This morning I want to talk to you about your purpose. And as I think about those country lyrics, I wonder how many of us can relate to those lyrics with our walk with God today. Maybe you're not backslidden, but something's changed. Something's changed in your life. You may be faithful, but it's not as strong as it once was. You may love God, but it's not the same as when you first fell in love with Him. Many of us live our lives having no purpose, drifting in that sea of life. If we're down, we just kind of muddle through. If we're up, we thank God we are up. Oh, yay, everything is wonderful. And we live at ease. But we do little to affect anything in between or even other extremes. Many of us don't have a spiritual purpose. You might say, Leah, you're wrong. I do have a purpose. But I could probably argue with you that that purpose changes day to day, hour by hour. For some of us, it might even change minute to minute. And I can bet each of you woke up this morning with a purpose. What was it? Getting to church. And how do I know you had that purpose? You're here. You're here. You're here. You purposed in your mind to be at church. You got up, you got ready, and you came to church. I know this because I don't see anyone in their pajamas.
Praise the Lord.
Having a purpose is very powerful. Purpose will cause us to reach, to press hard when we have a purpose. People who have a purpose, I think of, if you want to save the rainforest, and by no means I do not think any of these things that I may mention are not important. But people who are advocates to save the rainforest, that's what they talk about every chance they get. Saving the rainforest, saving the earth. If we're saving the whales, you're out there advocating to save the whales. Here, buy a whale out in the ocean and it'll be named after you. How many of us have bought stars in the sky? They're free, people. They're free.
Amen.
You can name it whatever you want. It's free. But people who have those causes are are passionate about those causes. Michael and I are somewhat Olympic junkies, I guess because we grew up when the Olympics were something really special. We were a little disappointed this year. But the Winter Olympics just got over. But I was reminded of another Olympics back in 1980. The U.S. Olympic hockey team walked away with a gold medal that year. They were the underdogs. It took place in Lake Placid, New York. They had shocked the world by upsetting the powerful Soviet Union. Yes, it was the Soviet Union way back then for you younger people. And they grabbed the championship from Finland. And while the whole crowd chanted, USA, USA. But before the team's victory over the Soviet Union, the coach met with the US team. And he told his players something. He said to them before that win over the Soviet Union, "You were born to be a player. You were meant to be here at this time. This is your moment." Have you heard those words before?
Amen.
Have you heard those words before? If we go to Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" Esther is, as I said, one of my most favorite books of the Bible. And every time I read it, study it, the Lord reveals something new to me. And this morning, as I talk to you about purpose, I'm not talking to you. The Lord really showed me some things. Everything Esther had accomplished up to this point had been done on purpose. When she went before the king, she purposed to look her best. She thought about what would she take to the king. She chose not to take anything. She purposed these things in her heart. She thought about it. But there was a point with Esther that those things changed. The Greek word for purpose is telos. It means end or goal. We can just combine those two words and make it end goal. It was at this point that Esther recognized the difference about purpose. She had achieved what we often struggle with. She went from being on purpose to being in purpose. When she began to live in purpose, she began to grow in her faith. When she was living on purpose, she wouldn't approach the king in a way that was not according to law. Because what would have happened to her? Oh, she said, "I can't go because if he doesn't want me, I'll be dead. I'll be killed." When she began to live in purpose, she began to act in what others would say might be careless, might be foolish. anyone from the outside looking in would think she was crazy for approaching the king in a non-traditional manner. In that day, you waited till he lowered his scepter and welcomed you in. She decided to throw tradition to the wayside. And she purposefully, in purpose, went to the king. People probably stood on the outside going, "What's wrong with her? Has she forgotten how the rules work? Didn't she remember what happened to the last queen? Who does she think she is?" Some of us struggle in the court of people. Their thoughts, their opinions destroy us. How many of us don't do something because someone else might think something of us? How many of us come to praise and worship and we don't want to raise our hands because, "Oh, what if Stephen made fun of me?" We don't dance in the aisle because, "Oh my goodness, someone might think we're foolish." We all worry about what other people think. Last evening, Paul and a few of us had the wonderful opportunity to go to a church in Chandler and be part of their praise and worship service. And there was a number of little children there. And during the service, someone got up and said, and it is so true, "These little children, they just wanted to stand in front of you. They wanted to show off what they knew. They wanted to show off they could sing for the Lord. They weren't shy about it." One little girl just held that microphone right up there so you could be sure to hear her voice. She was 6 years old. At 56, I'm hesitant to get before you. What might you think? I know how ladies think because I am one. You ladies may go and go, "Who did she think she is wearing that shirt to stand before us? Oh, she should have wore a skirt, not pants," whatever. I know how we think. I know how we think. So we're hesitant to do something because what would somebody else say about us? And as I was studying in Esther, that's when it really hit me. Esther said, I'm done thinking about what everyone else says. And it's at that point she began to live her life in purpose. So it really made me think personally, am I living a life on purpose or in purpose? When we're living a life in purpose, you know what? It doesn't matter what someone else thinks of us. It really doesn't. There's only one who we need approval from. And if you are following what he's asked you to do, you're going to do it. In purpose living will make you do things against tradition. Look at Esther. You don't go before the king unless he's lowered his scepter. She says, "I'm going to go before the king, see if he'll meet with me." When we decide to live in purpose, it causes us to think outside the box. That's such a secular term, but I couldn't come up with another one. Think outside the box. You know, our Christian lives become so sometimes routine. We go to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night at someone's house. We come to church on Sunday morning. First Sunday of the month, we have a fellowship meal and we have service. That's just how we are. So what if we said, "Oh, we're going to have service every night of the week"? How many of us would go, "Oh, I have to work tomorrow. I have this going on. I have that." We all would do it. What are the elders and the pastors thinking? What a burden they put on us. Service every night. Paul would say, "How am I going to get the papers graded?" I would say, "Give them an A." Because we don't want to get out of the routine. We don't want to think outside the box. What if God called us to come to church service every night for a month? Because he had something he wanted for Faith Harvest. How many of us would miss out on it because too busy, can't be there, got work, got to get up the next morning. Oh, the kids have school and oh, can't disrupt their routine. I have learned most recently the job I have, I didn't get it because of me. Got it because it's a job God provided. God is going to watch out for my job. And my kids, he's going to watch out for my kids. Go where the Spirit leads, even if it goes against the grain. It will cause you to make decisions never made before. Try things never tried before. Act in ways you've never acted before. Now, I'm not telling you to just go out and do something if it's like, oh, I don't want to obey the red light, so I'm going to run every red light in town. See if I can beat the camera flash. No. Is God calling you to do something and it lines up with the Word of God? It lines up with the Word of God. Not with what you have in your 6 inches up here. In these times, my dear brothers and sisters, this is where we need to be. We need to find ourselves in this place today. Transitioning from an on-purpose life to an in-purpose life. Amen. It's going to change how we approach things. Many of us spend time in the Word. Maybe we have a certain Bible study we're doing. We have a certain flow in which we are studying the Word. We're doing that on purpose. We purpose in our heart. Yes, I'm going to read the Word today. What if we started studying the Word in purpose? What if we started looking at that Word? What are you telling me, God? What is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? Would it change the outcome of your studying? I have to think yes. What if we stopped just coming to prayer meeting on purpose? If we stopped coming because, oh, it's at Paul and Sheena's house, and their house is comfy to have prayer meeting at. If we started to come in purpose, how would God's hand move? We might all be just astounded if we started to come in purpose. Not coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night because, oh, I'm tired. It's been a long day. And brothers and sisters, I have these exact same thoughts. Would there be revival if we started to do things in purpose? There'd be revival in our own lives, even if it didn't happen in our brothers and sisters. It would happen in our lives because suddenly we're living a life in purpose.
Amen.
Every so often the pastor will share that he is fasting and he invites us to fast with him. Now, I was thinking about this in regards to our lives. And it's like, okay, we're going to support that, so we're going to fast. So we fast on purpose. Okay, can't eat lunch? Can't. My whole thought process is what I can't eat. Which is not the purpose of fasting. But suddenly that's where my thoughts go. What I cannot eat today. But if the next time the pastor invited us to join him in a fast, what if we fasted in purpose? I know Pastor Mark, when he is called to a fast, he is fasting in purpose. He is fasting because he wants to hear God. He wants to hear what God wants for this church or whatever area of focus. He is fasting in purpose. Is that what we do? I said each of you came here this morning on purpose. You purposed in your heart, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to come to church on purpose. What if you left here today in purpose? How would your day go? What would change in your day if you left in purpose? You know, Esther is not the only example in the Bible of someone who transitioned from on purpose to in purpose. Her transition to moving to be in purpose saved her people. She's one of the great women in the Word that God used. She's a hero. We're Children's Church, we're talking about heroes, and she's one of those heroes. The Samaritan woman went to the well on purpose. Jesus told her all that she ever did. But that Samaritan woman left in purpose. In John chapter 4, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I had ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. When she left Jesus at the well, she left in purpose to share the goodness of Jesus. That the Messiah had come. She left in purpose. In the book of Matthew, we read of two blind men who came to Jesus on purpose. They wanted to be healed. They left in purpose. In Matthew 9, it says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.' But when they departed, they spread the news about him in the country." They left in purpose. They didn't keep it to themselves. Brothers and sisters, how many of us keep Jesus all to ourselves? Because we don't want to offend anyone. We live in a world where, oh, that's going to offend me. That will offend someone. Well, you know what offends me? Is all the other religions that can have free speech. The minute I say I'm a Christian,
amen.
Oh, the room is empty. The room is empty. Years ago, and when the church was very young, I remember the Lord calling Pastor Maggie to go preach on the street corner. She said, "I'm going to look foolish out there." And I know she struggled with the Lord for a little bit, but he said, "Go preach on the street corner." And at that time, our church had a parking lot that was set back, so it wasn't like on the street. And I believe she tells it that she went and out in the middle of that parking lot and started to preach. Okay, it was safe there. The Lord said, "No. I told you." She ended up on the street corner. I'm sure people thought she looked foolish. Preaching on the street corner to people going by, passing by. But God had a reason for it. Paul, for a number of years, did street evangelism. Many people that passed by thought, "This man is a fool. He is ridiculous." But you know what? Saturday after Saturday, Paul would still go. It didn't matter to Paul what those people on the street said. They could call him foolish all they wanted. God looked down and said, "Good and faithful servant."
Amen.
To God, Paul did not look foolish. We spend much of our time doing things on purpose because, people, it boils down to we're worried about what someone else is going to say about us. We're so worried what other people will think. I don't like that. And I will say, I don't care what other people think. My children will say, oh, you just don't have any heart, Mom. You don't care. I don't want to care what other people think. 12, 13 years ago, the Lord had put in my heart to do a church camp. And I went to the pastors and I said, God said that we're to do church camp and we are to have the 5-year-olds to the 18-year-olds go. Pastors Mark and Maggie said, that sounds wonderful. Put it together, do it. And I said, well, I don't know how to do it. I've never even been to a church camp. They gave me some guidance, said, do it. We went. We had some stumbling blocks in that first church camp, but it was a wonderful, wonderful blessing.
Amen.
We learned a lot. We learned a lot about each other. We learned a lot about church camp. We learned a lot. And I came back, and Michael and I were sharing with the pastors about church camp, and the pastors looked at me and go, you know, no one in their right mind takes 5-year-olds to church camp. Why didn't you tell me that before? I said. They said, because God said. And for 12 years, we've had church camp. 5-year-olds, and occasionally I've let a 4-year-old slip in there. To 18-year-olds. It has been a blessing. It's been a blessing to those who have gone as leaders, as staff, and it has been a blessing to the children from 4 years old to 18 who have gone. All because I listened to God. I didn't realize that until I started studying this. I mean, I knew I listened to God, but it was like, I did that in purpose. If I would have done any outside research and learned, oh, you don't take 5, 4, 5, 6-year-olds to camp, we would have never done it. We would have never done it. But I can tell you, you talk to Crystal or Cambry, Caitlin, Callista, all of the Sipe family, some of the Hillis family, even some others, and say, what did church camp mean? And they will tell you they were blessed at 5 years old. This year the Lord has told us, take a season off to pray. So we are. We ask you to pray in purpose with us where He would have church camp go for next year. He might have some other, what I would say, ridiculous idea for us. But you know what? First one worked, so why wouldn't the second one? So pray in purpose. 120 came to the upper room on purpose. The Holy Ghost fell. And guess what? Those people left in purpose. I ask you this morning, is Paul, if you'll come forward, where are you at today? We came here on purpose. Do you want to leave in purpose? Do you want to change your walk with God? It's not going to happen. My dear brothers and sisters, if you are doing things on purpose, I've come to realize that. Is it going to be a struggle? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because the enemy would love to tell you, you're not good enough. You can't do that. That is foolish. If you just did one thing when you left here and said, I'm going to devote this part of my life to be in purpose, I wonder what God would do in your life. If your prayer life wasn't set on, oh, I'm going to pray today for this, this, and this. If you went to prayer in purpose, how would that change? If you didn't pray for somebody to be healed just because they asked you to, but if you prayed in purpose, believing they were going to be healed, would they be healed? There's power in purpose. This morning, as Paul plays and Michael will come forward, think about, do you want to leave here on purpose so you can go have lunch? Or do you want to leave here in purpose and everyone you encounter, you're going to share the good news with? You're not going to worry about what someone else thinks. You're not even going to worry if they put the hand up and walk away from you. They're not rejecting you. Start thinking about what you can do. And not worrying about what your friends or the person sitting beside you here in church thinks about you. What's God ask you to do? What does He think? Esther saved her people. What could we do when we live a life in purpose?